This is Yinzer Jamie, and I'm here to let you know that we're about to tackle some brown ass meat. We're going to take them down, and we're going to win 31-13. And you heard it here first from Yinzer Jamie. Have a great Yinzer kind of day. Yes, sir. Here we go.
So you can now leave voicemails on the Odyssey app, and that's Yinzer Jamie. Don't know if you caught that. Yinzer Jamie is named. You think that's on his birth certificate?
Probably now. He probably switched it.
Do you think he goes into work on a Monday morning and he sits down and everyone's like, hey, Yinzer Jamie?
You know what?
Now, enter the numbers today.
I take it back. I think a lot of people have alter egos. You know, they're, you know, at work, they're all done up to the nines like you are. And then they get in their car and they get on Twitter and they have a Twitter account, Yinzer Jamie. And then that's who they are on the weekends.
Like Rico Dash.
Correct.
Your alter ego.
I have a couple of those.
What would my alter ego name be?
Dick Crowley. Because your middle name's Richard.
Pat Bostic joining us now. He's our quarterback expert. We'll get into Pitt a little bit later on. We're going to be joined by Bill Hillgrove, as we are every Thursday at 7:50. Pat brought to us by Gatorade, available at Giant Eagle stores. And Pat was going to come in today, and he was going to be wearing jammies. He was going to have a nightgown on, a nightcap, and then he heard that I suited up so that the Steelers will take care of business. It's a vibe. I'm in business attire, and you've walked in wearing a suit.
Yeah.
That's why, right?
Is that a clip-on?
This is not a clip-on. I think this tie's from 1986.
Is that Pop's tie right there?
No, I got it at Goodwill.
Did you?
Way back when, yeah.
That's got some old NFL logos on it.
The Browns aren't even on it. That's how old it is.
No, they didn't exist at the time. So it had to have been like a mid-90s tie. And you still have the Eagles wearing their Kelly Green.
Kelly Green.
Yeah, which is the best.
Oh, gosh. One of the best uniforms in football.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
You go to Eagles games now or you watch them on TV, and you see a ton of that throughout the crowd.
Should they go back?
I also like their current get-ups.
They were the throwbacks. Yeah. I mean, someone that grew up wanting to be Randall Cunningham.
Yeah.
As Doran so often says.
You said it.
I love the Kelly Green. I love the Kelly Green jerseys. However, I'm a big fan. I went to the Steeler game Sunday.
That's
bought
right.
My youngest a Color Rush TJ Watt jersey.
Nice.
The Color Rush jerseys are sweet.
They are sweet. You can't miss getting your kid a TJ Watt jersey. My daughter has one now too. It's like from Walmart. It doesn't have the full wraparound, you know, gold on the sleeves. It just cuts off halfway through.
Where you can see it and where you can't see it.
Exactly.
Just to save a little bit of ink.
Oh, I mean, save a little bit of cashola too. I mean, those jerseys aren't cheap. I ain't making Pat Bostic money.
Yeah,
now.
Right. Doran and I had a conflict because, you know, my oldest is a big jersey guy, and he wanted Joey Porter Jr.
Penn State.
He went to Penn State. Mm-hmm. And when I was down in Dallas for SMU, we went to AT&T Stadium, and he wanted a Micah Parsons jersey. I said no on that one, so he went CeeDee Lamb. but I caved on the Joey just because he's a Steeler.
Yeah.
And
he's a whippy old guy.
He's a whippy old guy, local guy. Like that, I was willing to go there on that one.
Mm-hmm.
It stung, man.
It hurts. Zach Frazier.
But then he makes the game-winning play.
Right.
So see, I'd let my kids get a Pat Freiermuth jersey for sure.
Yeah, but not like a Micah Parsons jersey.
Pat Freiermuth, Penn State.
Yeah.
Right, but he's a Steeler.
I mean, a Penn State.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, Penn State Cowboy, no good.
Yeah, no, that's sacrilege.
No.
That's
cardinal
sin.
Yeah, so I think we've determined the formula here for what's allowed and what's not.
Do you have any idea how close to death you were going into Jerry World? They got steel falling from the ceiling.
Well, we were on the field.
Oh, my God.
I was throwing passes to the Valisek brothers on the field. It, in fact, we don't have this on video, but I threw a high corner route to Gabe. He had dropped like three straight.
Of course.
You know this, guys. Yeah. You guys.
You know
Chris was watching. Aaron ran a couple routes. Gabe caught a high corner, finally caught one, turned it, and dove for the pylon. It was epic. Got up like hip pointer, could barely walk. We go to dinner that night. He's like limping in there. They're like, what happened? He goes, I dove for the pylon.
Well, you got to make a play.
Yeah. Well, he had to kind of cut the corner hard. And,
sure.
He got in. He got in. I thought Desmond Reed did too, but it's another story.
Yep.
That is another story, but I happen to agree with you. You think anybody bought their kids Dan Orlovsky jerseys growing up?
No.
Well, I sure as you know what, don't think they're going to be buying his jerseys here in Pittsburgh after he said this on ESPN yesterday.
He just gave the blueprint, you know, of how to play this offense in the red zone. This is where I am. This defense in Pittsburgh can win a Super Bowl. This offense cannot.
Mm. Mm.
Right now, Russell Wilson's the worst red zone quarterback in the NFL. I'll let that sit in. That's Ooh. Not an assumption. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. His QBR in the red zone is an 8. That's out of 100. The red zone performance is not good enough. And J-Mac just talked about it, man versus zone. There's been moments, you know, when a defense, I think, silly in many ways, just plays single high coverage and gives them the chance to throw the ball to Pickens one-on-one. But if you don't, this offense in Russell Wilson is going to struggle versus.
Okay. Are we making too big of a deal out of one game? One bad offensive performance where they score no touchdowns? Or is there something to this, in your guys' opinion?
I mean, kicking 6 field goals is... Now, a couple of them were beyond the red zone.
Right.
But kicking 6 field goals is problematic if you're going to go beat Josh Allen or and even Mahomes, but they've kicked a bunch of field goals in Kansas City. So it's not like, you know, teams are scoring 50 points a game. I mean, I think it's low-hanging fruit. I think it's a small sample size. I think they got into the red zone a lot against Baltimore, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. 4 times.
They did not finish, which isn't a bad thing. However, in games prior to that, they scored points. They scored touchdowns. And they had some big plays that resulted in touchdowns as well. That, obviously, when you score from beyond 20 yards, you don't get in the red zone, which doesn't impact your red zone stats. You only register a red zone stat when you cross the 20. So I think it's grasping at something here to try to tell us why this team can't do what it probably can do. But I do agree. I think I kept looking for my vantage point. I had a couple of really good ones. Like, are they giving pickers? It did a couple times, and he just didn't make the play.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't make the play. Like, I think if they run the ball the way they're capable, that's the best thing you could do in the red zone is be able to run the football the way that they have from between the 20s. You're going to get that one high look, and you're going to have opportunities out there. I'd like to see Mike Williams out there more in the red zone. Like, I personally, as a quarterback, I love Calvin Austin. I don't like him in the red zone.
Sure.
I want size out there, man. I want Washington. I want Freiermuth. I'm in 12 personnel with Williams and Pickens on either side. Pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing.
If the run game isn't successful in the red zone, and you have this personnel like you just said for the Steelers, what are some rock combinations that you like in the red zone that could probably be successful for the Steelers?
Well, it depends what they're playing. If they're playing a too high look, I mean, the middle of the field is easy. I mean, simple plays where you got Washington down the chute and Freiermuth on a shallow cross, or if they're going to play soft and make you throw it underneath, Freiermuth's proven to be a good run after catch guy. Even the reverse works because Washington's a load to tackle. I think anytime you can get in bunches and clusters, you can sneak guys down the middle of the field, work high-low on the boundary. I just like getting big down there personally. I like getting big down there where seams, where corner shots, where you can work the middle of the field and throw the ball high where it's not in harm's way. Like, yeah, I don't like the pick that Russ threw. I don't think Darnell made a very good effort on it, quite frankly. I think he kind of thought he was covered, and they're learning how to work with Russ in these scenarios, and Darnell's pretty new to this. But I don't – like, there's a couple guys I wouldn't put on the field, and it's nothing against them. They're good players. I would not put Connor Hayward on the field in the red zone, and I would not put Calvin Austin on the field in the red zone if I've got the option to put Mike Williams and Darnell Washington in there in their place.
I have a theory on all this. And I'm not a guy who played football at a high level. So I'm going to throw it out to you guys when we come back. And I wonder if there might be some credence to it. And if not, then I'll cry in my coffee. One more voicemail?
Yeah.
Hey, Crawley, I just wanted to let you know that no matter what I'm doing, I find time to listen to your show.
Okay, this. Okay, so here's the deal, guys. Like, I was thinking about this coming in, as you guys collect yourselves.
You were thinking about that?
No, I was thinking about. I think this voicemail app, this voice, lasts about a month before it's gone.
It's gonna get bad.
It's gonna get bad.
And yeah, but we have final creative control here. I mean, if something's too bad, we just won't air it.
Right, but you just elicited people to do live reactions during the game, and it's going to be like, yep, bleep. And that, like, what the hell is that?
Tomorrow morning, we are doing angry voicemails.
There's not going to be angry. They're going to boat race the Browns.
See, that's where I think the comedy comes in, is people are going to record voicemails at the times of the game where things aren't going well, then ultimately they'll find a way to win, and they're just going to look like jackasses.
You know what you should elicit is at least one in-game and then post-game reaction. See the difference in the tone.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's great.
We want to hear you in-game at moments you deem to be critical, right? Okay, it's a critical moment. You're either happy or you're really sad. And then after the game, what's your reaction? You might get both sides. If they lose, you might get, hey, they're up 14-0. It's over. The Browns stink. And then after the game, this Steeler team is overrated.
They stink.
I love that idea. And it's very easy to do if you're out there listening. Just another way to get in touch with the show. On your Odyssey app, top right-hand corner, it says leave a voicemail. And guess what? You just leave a voicemail. All right, Steelers have not been good in the red zone. We've just talked about it a little bit. I have a theory on why. I want to run by the football experts, and we'll do just that coming up next. First, though, a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Every time you get down there, you need to come away with touchdowns. Some of it give Baltimore credit. Like I said, we all got to do a better job there. We want to come away. You know, we don't have that turnover. It might have been 7 field goals and 21 points after you slice it up. We need to be cleaner there. And some of it's credit to defense and other things that we all got to do better. And then just kind of the flow of the game, too, situational stuff. You know, those are the games within the games. You talk about winning as a team. Obviously, you'd love to score 42 points, but you hold the ball for 36 minutes. Defense plays like that. They don't get rolling. I don't think Derek got to his mid-20s or 30 carries, and we've done a good job possessing the ball, and I thought we were pretty physical, especially down the fourth quarter. We got punched in, though.
I agree with that assessment from Arthur Smith. He spoke yesterday. They did a lot of good things on offense. Not really in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of good. But in the second half, they moved the ball and they chewed the clock. And if Lamar Jackson's offense is only going to be on the field for 24 minutes, I think that's job one in stopping the guy. I have a theory on why they're not performing super great in the red zone. And Pat, you kind of touched on it earlier on. Mike Tomlin always refers to September football, right? Like, we're not going to be as clean in September. Well, Russ has only played 4 games. I mean, he's still in September. This would be his first non-September game then. This is the 5th game of the season for Russ, and I do think it takes time to gel with the guys. But I've never been down there. I've never taken snaps in the red zone. Is that legit or is that dumb?
I mean, I think you could find some legitimacy to it, but I mean, what would happen if those plays didn't get called back? Like, what would the red zone percentages be then?
You know what? That's a great point.
You know, he's hit at times. They just haven't completed. Like, think about what the red zone percentage would have been if he'd have just thrown the ball. I mean, Russell Wilson's 5'10", Darnell Washington's 6'7". Like, that's probably hard to try to throw an alley-oop to a tight end whenever you're throwing it up. Like, say they hit on that, then what are the percentages and things of that nature? They've been close. So I could see where you bring that theory up, maybe, but they've been so close that tells me that I think that theory might not be.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying with Darnell, though. Like, it just takes time for those two to get on the same page. Plus, Russ rolls out, you know, and it's an improvised play. I think you're right about, I mean, they had a George Pickens touchdown callback on the face mask by Broderick Jones. They had the weird doohickey deal where he can't get 2 feet down. He gets the same foot down twice. They had the Van Jefferson not sitting down and finding the hole in the zone. I mean,
what about even Jalen Warren fumbling? Were they in the red zone?
I'm trying to remember if that was a long carry. They got
like
him
was.
Down there. If that's in the red zone, you're right about that too. So there's 4 moments right there that have nothing to do with schematics, that have everything to do with players just beating themselves. And here's why I'll disagree with Orlovsky saying this is not a Super Bowl caliber offense. Again, this is going to be Russ's 5th game. Russ was great, like inarguably great in the red zone last year. So I'm not going to overreact to 4 games where they're 7 out of 18 in the red zone. It doesn't make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, and I acknowledge that they do need to get better, but this is a guy with a track record of being terrific in the red zone. I don't think he forgot how to play red zone football overnight, Pat.
No, I don't think so either. To Arthur Smith's point, you know, situationally when you know, are in a situation where your defense is playing as good as they are and then you throw a pick, Sometimes you coach out of being aggressive at that point in the game. I also think this, watching the game in stadium.
Oh, that's right. You were there.
Their pass protection leaves a lot to be desired. That's what concerns me most about this football team, is their ability to pass protect. And I think what it results in, and a couple things that I see in the red zone from them, that if, and again, I'm looking at play-by-play from the Baltimore game, so I'm grasping at the most recent performance, but they're highly penalized in that area. Obviously, it's cost them 2 touchdowns, and there's a lot of throwaways. Hmm. And the throwaways are scramble throwaway, save a sack, don't lose yardage so you can guarantee the field goal. They have got to be better in that phase. Now, part of that is running the ball. Part of that is, I think, personnel. I don't want to go back to it all the time, but Washington, Freiermuth, give me big guys, play action, run the ball. That's where Russ is at his best. Move the pocket, where he's able to get out of there, pin the edge, get, you know, run a double move, you know, run big crossers where you've got options. The other thing this is going to spark, maybe it sparks something. Fields gave them something down there. And I'm not saying you put them in there all the time, but if it's third and short, you know, when you got bad pass protection, what can save you? A scrambling quarterback. And yeah, he had some design run touchdowns. He also had some scramble touchdowns that were just broken play, find a way, get in the end zone. I think there's merit to considering that if this continues. And obviously they proved that they were willing to put him in a very, very critical part of the game. And he performed. I mean, he slid short of the sticks, which I don't love. But he came back the next play and did his job. So that would be something I would consider as we move forward.
I think we see a decent amount of that tonight. I really do. I thought that, I mean, we assumed that they were going to do it against the Ravens, at least see him, and we were right with that. We predicted that a little bit.
Well,
and
you don't miss, my friend.
No. I mean, I shouldn't either because I've played the game, you know. Like, I should know and have a good feel for what teams are going to do. And, you know, even the personal relationships I have with some of the people, I should. So thank you, though. But I think that they're going – I think that Justin Fields will have over 10 plays tonight. And I think the bulk of them will be in the red zone. I think that that's – just like Pat said and we've been saying for a couple days and for the last, like, week or so, if you want to, you know, revamp that – part of your game, you know that you have something that works, and now you have the confidence in Justin Fields in big moments. Put him in the red zone, let him do his thing, and then go from there and build off of that.
I have a counter to that.
Well, let's do that coming up next.
I have a concern with that.
Okay.
I think it merits working out, but I think more important is getting Russ going. Because you play the Chiefs or Buffalo, good defenses, they'll take Justin Fields away.
I think tonight, though, I mean, we just saw what Taysom Hill did. They could not stop the zone read to save their lives or their jobs.
Yeah, you got to win the game first, which I agree with.
Well, here's the thing on that. Short week. There is no way they're fixing that in 1 week.
No.
Cleveland. Like, oh, we were terrible at it last week. All of a sudden, we're great at it this week. No chance they fix that. But we'll get to your counter when we come back. We'll hear Arthur Smith on Justin Fields' package phrasing. But first, we're asking for voicemails on the Odyssey app. It's a new way for you to get in touch with the show. I have not listened to this. Callis is the one who is making these decisions.
This is Yinzer Jamie. And
wrong one. Idiot Crowley.
Russ has had 2 decent games and 2 dog crap games. Now we're hearing you guys say ridiculous things like he gets a pass if we lose to the Browns, who are the worst. Come on, guys.
You guys said that?
No.
No, he must be referencing Pony.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Bostic's counter argument to what Doran had to say, Arthur Smith on the red zone woes, and Justin Fields. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All Steelers today, apart from when we talk to Bill Hillgrove coming up in the next segment. Bill turned 84 yesterday.
Birthday Billy. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
84.
Mm-hmm.
Still rocking and rolling, baby.
Part of me thinks you're setting me up to be like, hey, Bill, you're 84. And he'll be like, you jerk, I'm 78.
Wouldn't do that with something that personal.
Right.
Okay, good.
I mean, anything else, probably we would, but.
I just don't want to step in it, that's all.
You're not going to step in it.
Like I did a couple of weeks ago whenever Callis had Country Roads queued up to play when Billy came on. And I was actually embarrassed. some blood flushed into my cheeks. It made me feel uncomfortable.
I don't know why you're holding me responsible for that. I think you did that.
Mm-hmm. Arthur Smith spoke yesterday about Justin Fields' package.
There's a fine line, you know, to do it. Justin is a, you know, in this role as a gadget guy, I mean, Justin to me is a, we've got two starting quarterbacks and he's a hell of a football player. And so if he can help the team, and there is a fine line. I've done it a little bit in my past. We did it on the stretch with Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota, but different situation. So when you have the opportunity, we've had things up and just the way the game was going and throw something at him and put another dynamic football player out there, that certainly helped us. Helped us in situational football.
So Dorn and I want to see him down there, and you brought that up as well, Pat, but you said that there's something that you don't necessarily love about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel like you've got red zone issues, which I think it's too small of a sample size to paint with such a broad brush, but against a team like Cleveland, do you not want to get Russ working? Now, the weather's going to be a factor tonight. Mm-hmm. Obviously, lake effect, wind, snow, all that crap, which would lean me towards, okay, we got to be able to run the football, and if he gives us another element. I just think there's two sides to the coin, and I agree with Arthur Smith. Like, it's pretty clear that Russ is the starting quarterback. You know, you can say you have two starting quarterbacks, but it's clear who you're going to ride. It's clear who the leader of this offense is. And for me, every rep, every opportunity, given his kind of introduction into the offense and not being a part of training camp, not playing in the first month of the season, all those things, every opportunity you get to give him reps down there, I'm giving Russ reps. I'm not taking reps away from him. I know it's a division game. You do what it takes to win. But like first quarter, I'm not touching it. Now, if you go in there twice and kick two field goals,
yeah,
I might do it.
Yeah.
But if you're down there in the first quarter, like I'm not, as soon as we cross 20, I'm like, field's time, I'm not doing that. Because the most important thing for this football team is to get Russ going. Because they've proven that when he's going, they can win a Super Bowl, in my opinion. They have that capability. And in order to do that, you've got to be able to throw it down there. And he gives them the best chance to throw it down there, in my opinion.
I mean, but they have to win the football game too. So, and it's a short week. So, to me, in thinking about back in the day, when I was playing, like the short weeks, nothing really changes. Usually, some things do change clearly from game plan of the game on Sunday to the game on Thursday. I don't know if they're going to have the fixings of the red zone woes happen yesterday or happen on Tuesday or on Monday. Like they're probably going to do similar things that they did on Sunday tonight in the red zone. But another wrinkle that you feel comfortable with that's already been in is a package with Justin Fields, yeah. And you know that has worked in the beginning of the season. They could probably fix those woes and get Russ settled in after this game tonight because you have some extra days to work on some things.
I like everything that you guys have said, and I agree, Pat. If you kick a couple field goals early,
mm-hmm.
then you get to it, and I totally understand what you're saying there, Doran, but now my anxiety is coming into this whole deal. It's going to be snowy. It's going to be sleety. Fields has had trouble with snaps. And I think I might be overthinking
it. His turnover woes concern me.
Yeah.
They concern me more Sunday than they do tonight. And he showed that he could handle it.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the biggest possible pressure situation.
That's
you
the first thing I thought of.
Here's the other thing, guys.
I was like,
me too.
Here's the other thing, snap. Guys. It was second down. If that's third down and he slides short of the sticks, like, you're going out there, you're basically a running back. Get me the first down.
Yeah.
If that's third down and they lose the game because they have to punt and Jackson goes down there and puts them into overtime, like, I know it's revisionist history, but, you know, I've seen that before. Saw it last year.
Right.
You know, I think it sounds good and I think it looks good at times. Mm-hmm. I think it's a nice wrinkle, but I stop short of saying it's their cure to the red zone.
Sure.
Taysom Hill, Taysom Hill's existence in New Orleans has not coincided with much success for that football team.
No, in fact, anytime they took Breeze off the field to put Taysom Hill in, I thought it was kind of ludicrous. Makes more sense now with Carr.
He's great in fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
He's great statistically, but, you know, my recollection, he wasn't there in 2009 when they won a Super Bowl. It was Drew Breeze. So, I
did you guys like playing in the snow? Do I recall this correctly? Did you guys play Rutgers in the snow? Am I wrong about that?
Cincinnati. It was 2010. We played Cincinnati in the snow a little bit at home in 2009, but more snow in 2010.
That was like a rainy, snowy kind of situation, wasn't it?
In 09?
In 09?
Yeah, no, it was cold and snowy.
Cold and snowy.
Cold and flurries.
Didn't you say you were there?
In 09?
Yeah, when we lost Cincinnati.
Wish I was there.
Hmm.
I love snow.
Oh, dude. Nice.
You know, it didn't play many snow games as a player, honestly.
How big are your hands?
Did
you get it measured?
Yeah, like 9 3/4, something
really?
Like that.
What's Kenny's?
8.5, I think.
Jeez. Russ's is 10 1/4.
He's got a... Yeah, dude, you're talking about hands. You're talking about packages today. What the hell?
Yeah, no. I'm just thinking about weather.
No, he's got big hands, man. Like he's got big mitts. That's why, like, Brett Favre had big mitts. It was great in Green Bay.
Aaron Rodgers, like he was holding a Nerf ball.
Yep.
Favre.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers. I used to, like, look at quarterback's grips, and, like, his just looked like there was meat hooks on the football. Like, it was just, like, I could never even get my pinky finger. He got his pinky finger to the bottom of the laces.
Oh, my God.
Still had his pointer finger at the top of the football. It's like, he just engulfed the football, which, I mean, the reason for that is obviously ball security, but it's also aerodynamics. And
you spin that thing.
Yeah, it just more contact time between your fingers and the laces as the ball rotates.
Now I have to do a quick Google search on Justin Fields' hands. And Doran,
think they're small.
I'd like to apologize to you, Doran. I took no joy in watching you guys lose to Cincinnati in 09.
You said you wish you were there.
I know. That's what I'm apologizing for. If my team ain't getting it done, like if Pitt goes out and loses in basketball to LSU tomorrow, that doesn't do anything for me. My team just got waxed by you guys. So I would like to apologize. I don't want this show. We still have more than halfway to go.
You're trying to tell me that because we just lost to West Virginia the week before that.
Well, that one I enjoyed.
And then you didn't enjoy us losing to Cincinnati because we could have won the Big East?
You'll never know.
I do know.
Now you're being disingenuous. You're lying through your teeth and your tie.
Yeah.
He come here with his business getup and he starts throwing shots. Doran. Like, I think he's looking at you with those crazy eyes, man.
Justin Fields has 9 1/8 inch hands. One of the smaller sets of hands in the NFL.
Oh, hey, you may have started it today. Hand size. Don't put Fields in a game tonight.
Oh, that's right. Don't do it.
I mean, we are talking about weather and we're talking about red zone and we're talking about read options.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
He did play in Chicago.
It didn't go well.
No, where he fumbled a lot. Yeah. All right.
Oh my gosh. Isn't it amazing what you stumble upon?
Mm-hmm.
That's all we ever do is stumble upon things.
That's
I ain't doing work over here.
That's a sign of a good show.
Yep.
Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. How's it go tonight? Steelers win close. Steelers win big. Steelers lose close. Steelers lose big. @_AdamCrowley. You can vote on that. We'll get into that coming up at 8 o'clock. But next, we wish a happy birthday to a legend. Bill Hillgrove going to join the show. Today's Pit Breakdown with Doran, Pat, and Bill Hillgrove is brought to you by Gatorade, available at Giant Eagle stores. We'll get back to Steelers-Browns for the remainder of the show, but a pit stop here, if you will. And before we get into this weekend's matchup against Louisville or talk a little Pit hoops, Bill, as I understand it, we're supposed to wish you a happy birthday. 84 years young. Happy birthday to you, you legend.
You got it wrong. It's 48, and I'm dyslexic.
I mean, Bill, the voice as good as it's ever been. You still work your tail off. I mean, you doing this till you're 100?
You know, I don't know what the future brings, but I will say this. I've said the word shucks many times in my life, but I never spell it the way the Louisville quarterback does.
Absolutely.
Let's talk. You want to talk hoops? Okay. This team is pretty special. 25 assists on 35 made field goals against VMI. I know the competition wasn't, you know, what some other teams have brought, but, you know, that's still outstanding. And the triple-double, well, I've seen two in my lifetime, and one by Bub last year and one by Jalen this year. So, that team, I think the sky's the limit.
Billy, from your assessment, how much better can this team, this basketball team, get, you know, as the year does go on? I mean, we're still in the infant stage of the season, but can you see this team growing as the months do go on and becoming a really, really complete basketball team?
Yes, and I think the reason is Delicic, you know, he's still kind of feeling his way into the situation, but this guy can shoot the three. And that gives them one more weapon that, frankly, right now they don't seem to need. But, you know, I think with his rounding into player shape and game shape. I think this team gets better. I really believe that.
Billy, obviously the Clemson game was gut wrenching, but you have to admire the fight of Nate Yarnell. Sacked 8 times, threw for 350.
Got punched in the head.
Got punched in the head. They finally called it. I think that says a lot about who he is.
The scoreboard called it.
That's true.
That's the first time I've seen a penalty called by the scoreboard, but you know, all of a sudden there was a flag on the field. I said, "Oh,
mysteriously."
I saw the arm bar, and so did everybody else. But apparently, some people with striped uniforms didn't see it, and you know, they finally made the right call. But and then, of course, that's going to get Dabo to complain. But you know, it shouldn't have gotten away, but it did. And you tip your hat, you know, their quarterback, a 50-yard quarterback draw, and we didn't have anybody home. And, you know, I remember asking Pat Narduzzi afterwards, if the football gods could grant you one wish, what would it be? He said, I should have blitzed on that play. But, you know, that's hindsight, and tip your hat. They made a great play and made more plays than Pitt.
Billy, how do you feel for Saturday? 2 games left, clearly. We're going to fly to Louisville tomorrow. How do you feel this team could potentially bounce back after 2 losses?
Well, if they fight like they did last Saturday, it should be a great game. And I know Louisville's favored by more than a touchdown. They're coming off a tough loss. You know, I sort of feel that if they fight, they're going to be right in it at the end. But, you know, that's why they play the games. And anybody who predicts them should know that the game takes a life of its own.
Billy, let's transition to the Steelers. What are your fondest memories of Cleveland?
One of them was, I think the Steelers were down 3 touchdowns in the 4th quarter 1 year. And then Ben just caught fire, and we ended up beating him by a narrow margin. It might have been even 1 point. And I remember doing the wrap-up with Tunch, and the stadium by that time was mostly empty. And I happened to glance down out of the booth, and there in a section all by himself was this older man weeping with his head in his lap, you know. And I just said, wow, you know, that kind of sums up the Browns against the Steelers, at least in, you know, the latter part of my lifetime. I remember when the reverse was true. But, you know, we've kind of struggled there a little bit recently. And so I think it's up to Mike Tomlin and the troops to prove that they're the superior football team. And just go out and do it. I know this part of the schedule gets a little lumpy for Pittsburgh, but everybody knew that as they looked at it, said they better make hay while the sun shines. Well, they've done that. But you know what? You know what's interesting is that some of the critics are saying that the Steelers have lucked themselves into an 8-2 record. I don't believe that one bit. You know, what do they count? W's. The stats don't mean anything except that one. But there are some doubters, so let's see if they're right and I'm wrong.
Steelers count W's. Jameis Winston eats them. And by the way, that fan who was crying in the stands, Ken Carmen, Dorn, is who that was, weeping into his arms. Oh.
Watch yourself.
Bill, really, really appreciate your time as always. Happy birthday to you, and have a great call to the Louisville game.
Thank you. We'll enjoy it.
See you, Bill.
Thanks, Billy.
The best.
The best. 84 years young. All right, let's get into that actually a little bit coming up next. React to what Bill had to say. Lucky. Lucky? Come on now. Plus, you can give us a ring or leave us a voicemail on the Odyssey app like Matt Zagarelli did.
Morning, boys. Steelers going to win this game 31-10 because this is what I think of the Cleve Brownies. Let's go.
This is going down the toilet.
I love it. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Lucky, I ain't buying it. We'll talk about it next. First, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 40.